Mr. Speaker.
Order. I know it's Thursday afternoon, but we're still going to get through question time.
But not without more opposition complaints at the length of the answers, this time coming from Labor's David Parker.
Mr. Speaker, you often remind us that it is for the Speaker to determine the length of an answer, and that is correct, but it brings disorder when the opposition feels that a different standard is applied to ministers answering questions than opposition members, including Mr. Peters, asking them.
Order. The member was right with his first point. It is for me to determine.
And the Speaker agreed with Mr. Parker's complaint about the length of Stephen Joyce's answer to a Patsy question about his government's delivery of the Better Public Services programme.
And the answer, I hope, is now concluded, because it was certainly a very long answer.
As was the answer to the next question, another Patsy from National backbencher Alfred Naro.
How are improvements in results in the education sector supporting our young people?
The Honourable Stephen Joyce.
Well, again, Mr. Speaker, on behalf of the Minister of Finance, a fulsome answer, because education is improving under this government. Spending has increased by $1.8 billion. That has contributed to the outstanding success of Result 5 of Better Public Service Targets, including Trades Academies, the Youth Guarantee Scheme, and Māori and Pacifica
order.
Trades
order.
Training.
The Speaker acknowledged another protest from David Parker.
Point of order, the Honourable David.
I make the same point of order, sir. There's so many...
The Speaker warned David Parker against becoming part of the problem.
To continue to raise points of order like that is in itself creating disorder, Mr. Parker.
But David Parker hadn't finished.
Point of order, the Honourable David Parker.
Mr. Speaker, answers are meant to be concise. When the Minister fills them full of irrelevant superlatives, things that are not facts, but his assertions of how grand he and his government is,
order.
He
order.
Should be
no,
brought
I don't
to order.
Want any further assistance.
Again, Mr. Carter said he would decide when an answer went on for too long.
If the member now wants to raise a point of order that doesn't in any way address the matters we've just determined, I'll certainly consider it. But if the member's going to continue to relitigate the decision that I've already made, I will then be asking the member to leave. Does the member have a point of order?
I do, sir, because
point of order, the Honourable David Parker.
Because your answer addressed the length of questions, my second point of order is that they are full of irrelevancies in the answers that don't meet the prescription of standing orders that are meant to be about facts, not skiting sort of irrelevant superlatives.
Order. I covered that point as well by saying just because an opposition member doesn't like the answer doesn't mean that I will necessarily curtail it.
There could be no complaints about the length of the answer that Paula Bennett, standing in for Housing Corporation Minister Bill English, gave to this question from his Labor shadow, Phil Twyford.
Is this why the government changed the law to give him extraordinary unfettered powers to sell state houses to anyone he likes on whatever terms he likes, so that he can flog off billions of dollars of state housing to speculators while New Zealanders in need miss out?
The
Mr.
Honourable
Speaker.
Paula Bennett.
No.
Money for your mates.
Paula Bennett then faced this question from Phil Twyford, who had been reading the Auditor-General's report on the inquiry that he'd requested into the Housing Corp's handling of the tender process to find buyers for state houses.
How can the public have confidence in his stewardship of state housing when he's selling off billions of dollars of state housing to merchant bankers and foreign companies, when New Zealanders are living in garages and campgrounds, and his government can't even follow basic rules about conflict of interest?
Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Paula Bennett.
Because as per usual, the member's making it up and his question has no validity.
While Paula Bennett answered questions for Bill English, it was something that he had said that the Education Minister, Hekia Parata, was required to defend in answer to this question from her Labor shadow, Chris Hipkins.
To the Minister of Education, does she agree with Bill English that a lot of Kiwis are pretty damned hopeless and that they can't read and write properly? If so, does she accept any responsibility as Minister for Education?
The Honourable Hekia Parata.
Tēnā koe, Mr. Speaker.
Greetings, Mr. Speaker,
I think the House is better served by the Deputy Prime Minister's full quote, which I do agree, and it was. And the dairy industry has rightly said that a lot of the Kiwis that are turning up are pretty damned hopeless. They won't show up, you can't rely on them, and that's one of the reasons the immigration's a bit permissive to fill the gap, but we can't leave that problem unsolved, which is in the long run. We can't leave that problem unsolved. That is a cohort of Kiwis that now can't get a licence because they can't read and write properly and don't look to be employable. You know, basically young males. And if we don't work together to get them working, then they'll be with us a long time. End of quote.
And end of program. I'm Tom Frewin, and this report was brought to you with funding from Parliament.